Well, there you are. Welcome to Redemption's Table. All around the world tonight, the ultimate table of redemption will be remembered and celebrated. The bread and the wine Jesus shared with his disciples would become the flesh and the blood sacrificed for all less than 24 hours after they shared that meal. It's Holy Week, a week full of surprise. Surprise wide open. Several years ago, I heard singer-songwriter Drew Miller share a song that I immediately loved. There will be surprises. I love surprises, even though some deliver more shock than awe. Last year, I reached out to Drew and asked permission to share his music at the table, and he graciously obliged. So thank you, Drew. I encourage you to check out all of Drew's music wherever you happen to stream. Sometime in the future, I hope to visit with Drew about the full meaning behind his song. I wouldn't be surprised if the events of Holy Week somehow weaved a thread or two into its inspiration. When it comes to the biblical accounts of Jesus, there will always be surprises. In our 21st century encounters with him, how could we think it would be any less different?
I hear you calling the exceptions to your own arbitrary rules. I see you celebrate deception, but you've been fooled. You think you're controlling all this chaos. Surprised. Oh, there will be surprises. You can bet that Babylon was pretty. Turning and up bending.
When it comes to the biblical accounts of Jesus, there will always be surprises. In our 21st century encounters with him, how could we think it would be any less different? A little over 25 years ago, Holy Week began to have a deeper effect on me. I don't recall ever willingly choosing this, but I began to notice my emotions roller coastering this week, perhaps reflecting some of what was going on in Jesus' spirit, his last week of life, upon the earth. Some years are stronger than others, and this week has been a bit of a deep one thus far. If you are a follower of Jesus, or if you're curious about Jesus and wish you knew more about him, I would encourage you to read the first four books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. These are known as the Gospels. They tell of the good news of Jesus. They were written by four different individuals, two who were Jesus' disciples, two who were Jesus' contemporaries. These are firsthand accounts. And I would say, especially if you are a Jesus follower, you should read these four Gospels at least once a year. I am currently reading through the Message paraphrase by Eugene Peterson. And since the first of the year, I have read Matthew in January, Mark in February, and I am currently finishing Luke this week. Three times now, in as many months, I have walked through Holy Week. There is such rawness, mystery, horror, and poignancy in the days leading up to the crucifixion and the resurrection. If you just show up in church every year for Easter Sunday, and that's the sum total of your brush with Jesus' death and resurrection annually, you're possibly missing out on the opportunity to be surprised. I love to hike. I love our national parks. Holy Week reminds me of three particular hiking trails: Devil's Haul in Guadalupe Mountains National Park, Devil's Den in Big Bend National Park, and Devil's Garden in Arches National Park. All three of these trails fill me with awe. All three of these trails lead into some very tight places. Devil's Den and Devil's Garden even contain an element of danger. The maze of Devil's Garden could lead to lostness. The drops down into Devil's Den could lead to injury. Not likely to, but the possibility is there. It's Holy Week. But what I keep discovering in the labyrinth of Jesus' final days is the holiness of this week brings out some unholy things I have to face in myself. Just walking alongside Jesus' disciples and witnessing some of the back alley deals and the mixture of politics, religion, and grift, there is only one individual in these 8 days who is holy. There is only one who kept his promises from the first Hosanna to the last nail. Everyone else is just as nefarious as all the rest of us, just as nefarious as I am. On Palm Sunday, I was invited by a friend to preach at his church, and in particular, to preach one of my favorite sermons that I have ever been given, on Judas Iscariot. Years ago, when I pastored in the mile-high town of Fort Davis, Texas, I learned our community choir was planning a Living Lord's Supper for Holy Week. So I contacted the director of the choir, Nancy Davis, and I asked her who was portraying Judas. She said, "No one yet. No one wants to be Judas." I said, "I want to be Judas." Word got out that I volunteered for the part, and several friends asked me why. And I said, "It's easy. I see a lot of myself in Judas, and I see a lot of Judas in the pews and members of today's churches." I shared three things about Judas Sunday that are still very much just like me. A Judas within us has a "what's in it for me" mentality. That's what Judas asked the chief priest before he betrayed Jesus. "What are you willing to give me?" A Judas within us has an unwillingness to confess his sin. Right before Judas left the upper room where he shared redemption's table with 12 friends, Jesus personally served Judas. Jesus was the host, and the greatest honor a host could bestow would be to personally serve a guest. Jesus dipped the bread and extended it to Judas. This was a one-on-one moment between Jesus and Judas that called, begged for a confession of sin, and Judas shrugged it off. A Judas within us offers only a borderline pretense that we really love Jesus. Judas betrayed Jesus with a kiss. The kiss was the sign for the guards to follow so they would not possibly arrest the wrong man in the darkness of the garden. Jesus, what's in it for me if I follow you? Jesus, I'm not going to confess my sin to you right now. Jesus, I love you. Sort of. Sometimes. Not very holy. And when it comes to the whole idea of betrayal, as I sit around the Lord's table with the rest of the disciples, I bring my wounds and baggage to that table. And I wonder, am I Jesus or am I Judas? For I know what it is to be betrayed by someone very close to me. Perhaps you do too. And so again, who am I at this table? Am I Judas? Am I Jesus? Or am I both? Last Sunday, I preached on Judas. This Sunday, I'm sharing a brand new resurrection message on Thomas, God willing. But in between those two pinnacles, I'm in the maze of heaviness and light, divine focus and depression, chaos and surprise. What I'm getting at is this. If you've not done so yet, let Jesus lead you where he wants you to follow. Let him help you listen to what may be familiar to you in deeper ways. Jesus could tell us a lot about ourselves these next few days if we would but let him. The Friday known as good is only a few hours away. The devil's rent is about to come due. At least that's how he perceived it. The devil's rent in the holy flesh of Jesus. And the irony of the nails is Satan unwittingly used our sins, the damage in our lives he is most proud of, to pierce the hands and feet of Jesus. There are surprises. We participated. The sins we have just fresh committed were included on that Friday 2,000 years ago. There are even greater surprises. Jesus responds to our sins with the offer of forgiveness. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When it hits us what we have done, there's yet another surprise, which hopefully will lead us to confess our sins and ask Jesus' forgiveness personally. All have sinned and fall short of the glory God intended for our lives. The wages of our sin is always death, but surprise, God's gift to us is eternal life. For even while and when we were in the thickness of our sins, surprise, God provided his love for us when Jesus died for us. For God so loved you and so loved me that he gave us Jesus, his only born in the flesh Son, that whoever believes in Jesus to the point of following Jesus with his or her life will not perish, but have life to the fullest possibility, beginning now and continuing on into forever. There will be surprises. When it comes to the biblical accounts of Jesus, there will always be surprises. In our 21st century encounters with him, how could we think it would be any less different? Be looking for those surprises these next few days, my friend. The surprises that have your name on them.
Well, I've seen humans upward striving, trying to be more than flesh and blood. Till